afternoon, ladies. This afternoon, Sharon, Adair, and Stephanie Tankersley are going to be talking with us about compassion. And so I just wanted to give a word of prayer. They asked me to do that this afternoon for you guys. And, you know, if I had to think of somebody who knows a lot about compassion, Sharon, I feel like there's not much of a better person to speak about it than that, because she's just so loving to everyone. And so will you bow with me, please? Dearly Father, I just want to thank you for giving us all the chance to come to the retreat to learn about how to be Wonder Women in your kingdom. And God, I pray that you'll help us to learn some really great things from Sharon and from Stephanie today about compassion. You know, it's something that I think a lot of people struggle with, and, you know, I'm glad that these ladies have chosen to be here today. I pray that you'll help us to build great friendships and, you know, and to learn some great things that can help us be the Wonder Women that you call us to be and to serve this mission. God, I pray that you will help us to be transformed with the things that we learn and that we take this into our daily lives. God, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, so you have your notes in front of you. Did everyone get a copy? And okay, we're just going to just jump right in here. Cultivating the compassion of Christ. With the idea of cultivate, it's talking about preparing the land for crops, and you grow the plant, you loosen the soil around it so that the roots won't have such a hard time getting through. You nurture it by, like, pulling the weeds. So cultivating requires action on our part. We have a responsibility to prepare our hearts, grow in the Word. It points out the weeds that need to be pulled in our lives. So the definition of compassion is a sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortunes of others. The etymology of compassion is Latin, meaning co-suffering. More virtuous than simple empathy, compassion commonly gives rise to an active desire to alleviate another's suffering. So practically speaking, we have compassion when we set aside indifference and we connect with those who are in pain. And in a curious way, this seems to be like the first step towards healing. In Matthew 20:34, the Bible speaks of Jesus when he saw the blind men and had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Notice that Jesus was on his way out of Jericho. That made this an interruption of his plans. How many like to be interrupted? Okay. We too must welcome and not ignore the interruptions that God places on our path. I'm too busy now. I'm going to church, so I can't help you, kind of stuff. On another occasion in Matthew 14:14, Jesus saw groups yearning for his teaching. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Did they ask to be healed? The scripture doesn't say that they asked to be healed. It clearly states they came for teaching, but Christ saw their need and fulfilled it before they even asked. Mark 6:34, Christ noted the confusion of the people, the crowd following him, and had compassion on them, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. All of these examples of Christ's compassion have three things in common. First, Jesus notices the people around him. This tells us that compassion is only possible when we're attuned to others. So if we're absorbed in our own feelings, our problems, our worries, our desires, we'll overlook the needs of those God puts in our path and ignore the opportunity to help them. Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience." And when we think of clothing ourselves, we begin with our Under Armour. Okay, that's in Ephesians. All right, here it is. All right, here's our. So we have You know, put on the full armor of God. So you want to put this on before you get dressed. Well, actually, for me, I need to put it on in bed before I get up. Yeah, just kind of works better for my whole family. Yeah, I do it that way. But so we have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, and a helmet of salvation. Notice these are all protection pieces. Only then can we clothe ourselves as this verse directs, putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. But before you go anywhere, be sure and pick up the remaining protection piece, which is the shield of faith. So you want to make sure that you have that on. It's part of your whole under armor. Okay. But the only thing that is a weapon that's we're called to yield is the Word of God. Don't leave home without it. Okay, you're going to need it. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So did you notice the Father of Compassion comment? So as his children, it's a given that we're going to have that same compassion. It's like totally genetic. So verse 4 tells us kind of the why behind the comforting us. So as he comforts us, we can comfort others, and it comes from that outpouring. Verse 7 points out that it is a given that we will share in his sufferings and his comfort. It's like a match set. So how do you react to the needs of those around you? Do you feel pity for the less fortunate? And then, you know, if no, then maybe what's the reason behind that? The second thing Jesus does is that he responds to people instead of reacting to them. Luke 17 talks about that now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus listens to the 10 lepers rather than being irritated that they are interrupting his travel plans. Matthew 9:20 is another place where, right now this is set the stage here. The synagogue's ruler's daughter just died, and he come up and said, "My daughter's dead, come to my house." And a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. So he takes time to speak with the woman who touches the hem of his garment instead of simply chastising her for her lacking maybe some appropriate boundaries. Like, don't touch Jesus, he's on his way to... Okay. So Matthew 7:12 is something that's just always good for us to remember. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." And then there's some questions there you can just ask yourself. So Jesus notices people around him. Jesus responds to people instead of reacting. And thirdly, Jesus invests and focuses on the needs of others. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. 2 Peter 3:9b, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus made it very clear in these and other scriptures that this was the very reason for him coming to earth, to seek and save the lost. So we too must possess this same depth of compassion for the lost. Luke 13 is where Jesus is overlooking Jerusalem and saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Let me tell you about chicken. I'm a farm girl, and so this is my farmology. Okay. I ran out to gather the eggs. I saw that the sky was green. Not a good sign. And I was in the chicken house. And I saw a hen that was like maybe 20 feet from the chicken house. And there was thunder, and she stopped eating. And she just spread her wings out, and she called her chicks. Okay, we have several hens. We have a bunch of baby chicks. They each ran to their mother right then. Just immediately ran. And they got under their mother, and she pulled the wings down, and then she sat down on them. And it started hailing. She could have gone in, like I said, just 15 feet, and she'd have been safe. But instead, she took care of the chicks. And she took the storm. When she stood up and opened her wings, all these little dry baby chicks went back out. They had no idea what happened. But being from the farm, they're the only animal I know that comes on the first call. You're not going to stop any other animal from eating to come. They're like, well, what do you want? What, you know? And so that's where that gives me a clearer image of what Jesus is like. Just let me protect you. I'll take the storm. I don't mind if it hails on me. I won't run for protection for myself. I want to save you. So we need to make sure that we have compassion to seek and save the lost as he has. We've really got to watch our attitudes as we're walking by people, and maybe we're too embarrassed to ask them if they want to study the Bible or invite them to something. And we could just get in our heads, it's like saying, you can go to, okay, and I don't care. And we can't be thinking like that, especially with our family lineage. So then verse 35 talks about, Jesus continues with, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there again, where do we invest? Where do we focus? So here's, like anything else, we get better compassion when we practice. And here are three basic steps. Practice your empathy. Spend 5 minutes a day practicing putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Choose a news report, a neighbor, or a member of your own family, and really contemplate what it feels like to be that person. Don't shy away as soon as you think, that must be awful. Delve deep into what it is like to suffer in that way. This exercise can help you to learn to do as Romans 12:15 says, is rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Another thing to do is to learn to pause before speaking. 1 Samuel 16 talks about the Lord does not look at things like people look at it. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. To be compassionate towards others, we need to allow time for the Holy Spirit to override our tendency to judge. Like, they've got more tats than teeth, you know. And so you're thinking, what are they doing with all their money? And you just can't even go there. So if we just have a simple prayer like, Lord, guide my heart, often provides enough space and guidance to help us see why people are behaving the way that they are. Ephesians 4:31 tells us, number three, practice empathy, learn to pause before speaking, recognize the barriers to compassion. So Ephesians 4:31 tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, which is a wish or intent to do harm. Doesn't mean you did it, but you thought about it. So I've got a Colossians box.
Practical instructions from Colossians 3. So first, I'm going to put this on. Wait for it. Wow, my goodness. This is wonderful. This is falling off everywhere. As you can see, sin covers you completely. Even past your fingertips. And it falls by you. So we've got to get rid of all of these things that we've talked about. The idolatry, and I'll have my people assistance. Help us get rid of this rattle, which is filled with sin. It's all from God. We've got to put it to death. So we've got to swear it.
We've got to kill it. Oh, should I turn it on? Where is that?
There you go.
Does it look like that? Oh, sin, it's just hard to get rid of. All right, then. Hand me another one.
We got to have a ball of it.
Woo! Woo! Pull those things off there. There's some on the floor, too. That sin just spreads. It's everywhere. So we got to get rid of our indifference. Look, get in there. See, they're fighting. That's got to go. Rough, noisy fighting. My sister didn't want to write brawling, so she thought that was better.
We didn't spend it. We don't want any of this left. Oh, here's the problem.
Whoever has. Impatient. I'm sure no one here's had that problem. No. Greed, and this is for more than just money. Mm-hmm. This greed of, you know, more money. Oh, thank you. And forget the net already fell off. It just knew what was coming and couldn't take it. Just saying. Okay. That's how it works. Suspicion. Mm-hmm. Those shifty eye things. Got to make sure we don't have any more. And now we have lies. Did you see how it's a little bit fluffy? Mm-hmm. That's because the American way is, we don't mind these.
Right.
But we can't. Okay, come on now. Slander. Really being cautious what we say about a desire to do evil. Does that say do evil? No, this is like, I want to, like that. See it? Good, just your language, just falling out of your mouth. It's going to go. It's kind of like, I wasn't sure that we could figure that one out. It's a little tricky. You know how sin is. It's not just for men anymore. It's the same. There
that's been something that in America, we don't think we have any of those. As an American, we don't know that. So we need to go by what the word says, which is kill all of it, killing. Oh, see? Frustration. It's the last one. All right, everybody, all right, ready to cheer?
The robe of righteousness bought by the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
this is soft. This is nice. I can't wait for this. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe with yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Seriously, sisters, let's ask God to help us to be kind and tender-hearted, as Ephesians 4:32 talks about. And we'll begin this very day to cultivate a spirit of compassion. Thank you.
First, and then as I'm sharing that, kind of share my life along with it. So try to keep up if you can, okay? So compassion means to suffer together, wanting to help someone. Let's see. I would say that from a young age, I saw people loving God. I was blessed to have that in my life. With my church family, wherever I was, and I moved around a lot. My parents, I remember when I was in first grade, my dad went on a mission trip to Africa and was able to, you know, talk to a lot of people, and actually one of the men came back home with them. And I was able to meet him. So that was like a very good learning experience for me, and seeing how God can touch people's lives in different countries and the love that he has. This is something that I've always been passionate about. My parents doing that and being able to be with whoever they are and love them through any situation and try not to be judgmental and to love like Christ. So, how to have compassion, you have to have motivation to do that. You have to remember God's love and his promises. And I'm a visual person. I don't know about how you guys learn, but I do. So remember the love and the promises that God has for you, and examine your motives. This is my crown. This is where I use my mind. This is what Wonder Woman would use. Okay? So for number one, that's what we're going to go through, all of this. Kind of like what she had, but a little different. But because it's Wonder Woman, right? Okay? So number two, always reevaluate your heart. Okay? And what I was thinking about this is the Word of God should always be my mirror of how I evaluate my heart. In the picture, I really believe that Wonder Woman should have a Bible with her, but this is the way I see it. Am I showing love? Am I showing love and giving God the glory? Whenever you give God the glory for working through people's lives and having compassion, you make your Father happy. And getting out there with the people and being comfortable with it. And it's hard. It's not a comfortable thing at first. People can be difficult. They can, you know, be short or, you know, have a bad day just like I do. And the response is out there, you know, and I just have to kind of laugh it off. It has to do with your response. And then the third one is always reevaluate your heart, examine your motives. Okay, and then I was thinking that comfort the broken and hurting. Remember your hurt and let your wall down. I think that was more of like your cape. You know, you use that more of a protection. We always have to, sometimes people will like cape themselves and they'll have their wall secluded, they'll seclude themselves. And you need to let that down. You need to remember when you are hurt. And that's what I always have to do, because I moved around a lot when I was little. And I thank God for it now, but it was a tough time. You know, you're always the new girl, you were the one that got picked on. I mean, everybody who's anybody has been said no to or been, you know, left alone by themselves, and they know how it feels. And if people would just realize and go back to that hurt and how they felt and just imagine, have the commonality of, hey, I was there, I remember that, or, you know, and just focus and look around. I mean, this world would be, I mean, since this study and since I've had to do this, I have like looked and Googled and all this stuff, and the world would be a much better place if people just would have compassion. Mm-hmm. The world would be so different.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's what God wants, right. You know? I know we try to do that as mothers. We want that for our kids. Five, forgive yourself and others, knowing God has a plan and He has the answers. I was thinking that was more of like your bracelet that you have. Okay? Because that's where you find your strength, you know? Sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves. It's easier for me to forgive somebody else than for me to forgive myself. And I don't know why I'm like that. I just tend to be more that way. I've become a lot better about forgiving myself and moving past those things and actually forgiving other people. Examples of that. You know, like I said, when I was moving around, I had a hard time forgiving people and moving forward and being hurt. In my marriage, I felt like I was hurt. And, you know, had to forgive that. I had hard times with my family. You know, they put a wall up and was like, hey, do not cross this boundary because of decisions that you've made. You know, so I was like, okay, you know, well, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to move forward, and this is how it's going to go. And I believe that in the hard things, God blesses those. I think, you know, you're not going to see immediate results, and you're going to have to be patient and rely on God. But He blesses all those relationships, and He gives you more ease, I guess, going through it. Let's see here. Okay, so ways that you can put compassion in place. The ways that you can put compassion in place, you look for commonalities. You're seeing yourself as similar to other increases the feelings of compassion. We talked about that a little bit. Calming your inner warrior. Or inner warrior, I mean. Okay, so like if you're a warrior person, which I have that in my background makeup, everybody would say my grandma is a warrior, and then they would say, Stephanie, you're a warrior, and I would think the same thing. If you practice mindfulness, you know, you can help yourself be safer in conversations with people and not being worried. One scripture is 1 John 4:18, you can look it up later, that talks a little bit about setting your mind at ease. Encourage cooperation. Make sure that you're together in the community. I had to learn this later on too. You can't be stuck with four or five people and just carry along with the same four or five people. It doesn't work. I mean, it's great to have that and you want closeness, but to be a community and to reach more of the lost, you have to pick as you go along. You have to see other people and those conversations. See people as loved individuals, not a project or work. A lot of times we'll be like, oh, they're new. I'm going to pull them here. I'm going to bring them to this. And then it's pretty much done. And they kind of feel left. And there's no compassion in that, you know, when they feel like a project or they feel like this is what we have to do. Another one. Don't play the blame game. A lot of people like to do that. That's not being compassionate. That's not showing compassion when you're blaming someone else or you're blaming, you know, this person did this person did that to me. It's very easy to get to that, you know. Anybody could do that. You have to, you know, shut your mind off. Out of everything, I think the most difficult was the divorce. And I had to flip the switch. And I had to say, okay, this is no more. This is moving forward. This is what I want with God. And this is what I want for my kids. And you had to flip the switch and move forward and be motivated in that. So make sure that you don't play the blame game. Respect your inner hero. You know, that is the most awesome thing. You know, God lives inside of every one of us. And we have that capability to be that hero and to make a difference in the world, you know, for anybody that's around us. You know, we want to be that light. We want to be that fire, the energy, you know, that God's given us. To cultivate compassion to the younger generation and lead by example. I think sometimes we leave the younger generation out. We think, oh, they're little kids. I love teaching little kids, being with little kids, and that's all great. The teaching part, but then the bringing them alongside of you and doing it with them, we miss out on that. And we miss out on showing them the joy of who God is in our lives and showing them why. You know, this is what God did in my life, or this is what, you know, just talking to our kids more about compassion, being compassionate for the lost, being compassionate for to their friends and showing that. We need to curb an equality. We need to be humble. A lot of people, they look at status, or they look at race, or they look at money, or whatever. And this is who I want to be close to. They're like me. They're, you know, we got the same personality, and then look at this other person that's totally different that's out here all by themselves. And they need somebody that's different so they can balance each other out, actually. That's how I look at it. Because God is diverse, so why shouldn't we be diverse? Don't be a sponge. That's the last one. Be receptive and sensitive without adopting those feelings as your own. Now, this is something I had to learn. Because I love people. I love what they're going through. I feel their pain. I internalize. But I had to come to the point where, okay, I'm internalizing that, I'm loving them, and I'm trying to help them through, but it's not mine. You know, what they're going through, it's hard, but it's not mine. I can't take it on myself. I have to be strong and be like, okay, this is what you're going through. I'm here for you, but not take it on yourself. I think that's the hardest thing for me with showing love to people and all of that. That being said, I really do see a lot of great things, not of compassion. You know, in the church, in the world, where we work, where we live, with our kids, it's a huge part of life, at least for me. And I just really had a lot of great examples in my life, some of the women here. whenever I was little, I would see great things and know that they were people that would stick by me, that would encourage me, that would be a light whenever I needed it. So that's why I'm who I am today, and I just thank God for putting those people in my life and just for putting God first. So, and that's all I got to say. So.